Hello, and welcome to both a new year and the first episode of the Blizzard Watch podcast of said year. I'm Matt. I am the host. With me this week are my fantastic co-hosts. Every time I say that, I immediately try to figure out like what gamma powers they would get. Now, sorry, cosmic rays, cosmic rays. First up is Liz Harper, the EIC and overall Grand High Poobah site. Liz, what do you think you'd get from the cosmic rays? What powers would you get?
Oh, wow. I would like to do the mind reading thing. I think that's just, you know what everyone is thinking. And then that inner voice you have that's always worried that people are thinking horrible things about you and criticizing you. You can just say, oh, yeah, they don't even care. They're not thinking about me at all. Okay, I can stop worrying about that.
I only hope that you're right about that, because if it turns out they are all thinking things about you, ah, or, you know, but regardless, Joe, quickly. Cosmic ray powers.
I would just turn into a cosmic Spider-Man from Earth 13, because that's if I'm going to do anything Disney's celestial, that's going to be it.
Isn't he the one with the unipower?
Yes, Captain Universe.
Okay, yeah. Technically, that's not from cosmic rays, man.
Technically, all things are from the universe. I don't know, man.
He wants to be Spider-Man.
According to Marvel, we can play anything on cosmic rays.
Or gamma rays. Sometimes both.
We don't know what cosmic rays can do to people. If they can make you turn invisible, then anything could happen.
Yeah, anything. Maybe. Interestingly enough, I don't have an answer to my own question. Okay, well then let's move on to do our usual news and events type thing that we do. We do this every week because, I mean, we're here to talk about Blizzard and its games, and that's one of the ways we can tell you what's going on. It is, of course, the first Tuesday of the year, and it's the second day of the year as we're recording. So some stuff is just stuff ending. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Diablo II's 22 Nights of Terror is ending tomorrow as we're recording, which means if you're not listening to us live, it's over.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. The Overwatch Winter Wonderland is ending on the 9th, which is, since today is the 2nd, that's next Tuesday. So if you are listening to this live or recorded, you still have a little time to get in there. Liz, I heard you talking.
A little time. Yeah, and we also just had Wintervale in WoW and Midwinter Blight in Diablo 4 just wrapped up. So yeah. We're kind of seeing the end of all of these holiday events.
Yeah. I should point out, however, one new thing that we know about is that the Seeds of Renewal patch 10.2.5, is coming on January 16th. It's got a bunch of interesting little tidbits added into the game. There's going to be dragon riding is going to be worldwide. We're getting the Azerothian archives. We have a post about that on the site, right, Liz?
Azerothian archives feels like an archaeology event.
Yeah,
which is kind of weird because Blizzard sort of let archaeology die, but they're kind of making these events that are sort of interesting archaeology events.
Well, they're world events, right?
Yeah. This is a world event where you go and you like. It's literally you're digging up history in the Dragon Isles, and then you're bringing it back to these archivists doing these little mini quests in this world event.
Yeah, it seems interesting to me because it might be a different way to approach archaeology. Instead of having it be a class mm-hmm. thing that you actually have to do in that way, you just have it be part of the game world, which is interesting, and I'm interested to see it. We're also getting the epilogues, apparently, for the Dragon Isles, which I wasn't expecting. But yeah, we're getting them in 10.2.5. We're going to get to see the last bits mm-hmm. of the Dragonflight story. And then from then until the War Within comes out, we're basically just going to be waiting for what the War Within stuff is going to be. I guess we'll have the pre-expansion patch that will start introducing us to War Within story.
Do you think we're going to get in-between stuff?
I'm not sure. They said they were going to do the usual intro patch, so there's going to be that.
Well, we got that roadmap, right?
Yeah, we do.
We do know we have a patch 10.2.6, which we know nothing about. We have a patch 10.2.7, which is called Dark Heart. And that kind of implies something.
Yeah, but I guess the question is, do we think it's going to be a little more substantial, or do we think it's going to be the traditional in-between stuff?
I don't know.
Even the in-between patches lately have been pretty substantial. 10.2.7 has what's called Harbinger quests coming. So it sounds like at least some kind of new quest line or maybe reimagined quest line. I don't know.
Well, we know the Harbinger is what they're calling Xalatath.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be related to that. Might not be, but it might be.
10.2.7 specifically lists Harbinger quests as a feature. So I think we're going to get some new story. They've been doing really substantial patches, even for these like mini in-between patches.
I'm really excited to see what the 10.2.6 Skull and Crossbones is.
I'm really looking forward to like us not drinking the poison because it's clearly marked with a warning.
When has that ever stopped us?
I was going to say, you act like you have not played World of Warcraft before, Matt.
Act like that because I'm trying to convince myself that the past 20 years of my life haven't happened, that I'm not old.
But we're stuck with what we are.
Speaking of being old, Reclaiming Gilneas is coming out. Yes. That's going to be part of 10.2.6.
10.2.5.
Yes, 10.2.5. Yes, you've got me thinking wrongly. It's my fault. I should not have thought. But regardless, I'm like actually like ridiculously excited for this. I very much want to see Gilneas get reclaimed and the warden to finally have a place they can live. Mm-hmm. And I'm the also happy that
on it is interesting.
Yeah, between this and Bellameth, both the Night Elves and the Worgen can go back to living someplace else, and Stormwind can basically just be Stormwind again. Not that I actually liked that Stormwind had multiple groups living in it, but it also got the feeling very Orgrimmar-esque.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't like all my cities feeling the same. So I like that we're going to see separated out areas again.
Well, I'm also interested to see what it's going to be for Gilneas, because with the Forsaken, for lack of a better term, retreating, I'm wondering what's there. I'm wondering what's waiting for us that we have to go through and clear out. Is it sentient ooze again, or is it something else?
Well, I remember like if you played a rogue and you did the rogue legendary quests back in Cataclysm, they did go back to Gilneas, and there was a bunch of, black dragons who were like building armies in there. So that could be a part of it as well. Like we don't know what's been going on in Gilneas over the past. I mean, it hasn't been as long as it has actually been in our world, but it's been pretty close. Like we've had
almost 10 years, right?
Yeah. So stuff has been going on in there this whole time. It would be interesting to see how this all works out, how it shakes out. What's there to reclaim? Like, is the city there? Like, you know, so lots of stuff we could get to see. That would be kind of cool. Mm. We're also going to get follower dungeons.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Which are the ones where you basically, you could theoretically run a dungeon, you and four NPCs. And if you're like a healer, that there'd be a tank and some DPS.
Mm-hmm.
And just, if, you know,
just I hope it's not Jared's Shadow Song trying to tank again.
I just hope it's not the healer from the the one that you remember when you were doing the ones back in Warlords of Draenor, the Proving Grounds, I guess they were called. For that group, my word. I don't know what they were doing, but nobody was getting any health back and they were getting continuous aggro. I was like, wow, how are they getting this much aggro when you don't heal anyone? Does it just offend them?
It takes skill to do that.
So we're going to get that. There's also apparently the Love in the Air holiday update and additional Warlock Demon customizations and Troll and Draenei customizations. I mean, I'm going to just say this. Can trolls wear shoes now? Could you please? There's no reason for them to be barefoot. They don't have hooves.
And specifically, they were calling out the Warlock, Tyrant, and Dark Glare Demons are on their way.
All right, cool. If you play a Warlock, you know. I do not play a Warlock, so I did not know that. But I do know that trolls need to wear shoes. I mean, they're probably getting rocks under their feet all the time. That's not pleasant. I walked barefoot on the ground. I know what it's
We can start a whole debate about this.
Saying they have to wear shoes.
Customization would be
there.
And there's some boots out there that would make perfect sense. Like I'm walking around in some clodhoppers that are way too big on my my little tiny blood elf and probably would be right at home on something with slightly larger formations of feet. So
yeah, but regardless, that's basically the gist. It's not going to be till the 16th, so you got a couple weeks, but it is coming, so it's good to know that that's going to be happening. I think this Saturday, the 7th, that's Saturday, right? God, I can't even remember time anymore.
It's time.
Yeah, Saturday is the 6th. Sunday is the 7th.
Okay, so Sunday we're going to see the Dark Moon Fair restart. Mm-hmm. That's weird. Why Sunday? Don't they usually do it on Saturday? Maybe they meant 6th. I don't know. But regardless, Dark Moon Fair is coming this week. So yay, if you like the Dark Moon Fair, you should get out there and do the various things that you do there. Like, for instance, the reputation stuff and the skill learning stuff. That's a lot of fun. I like the Dark Moon Fair. I don't go every time, but I usually go at least once every couple months. You know, just also for transmog. I'll be up front also to get some replica gear for transmog.
Of course.
That's true. It's true.
I should now I have to switch to the response mailer from Liz so I don't miss stuff. apparently tomorrow the Darkening of Tristan is starting in Diablo 3. It's the exact same thing it's always been. It's not changed, but it's still fun. I mean, you still get to do all the Diablo. For people who want a Diablo remaster for the original Diablo, it's in Diablo 3. They did it. It's their Darkening of Tristan. That's what that is. So go do that. I mean, it's not quite. It doesn't have all of it, but it's a pretty big chunk.
Yeah.
I would actually like to see people get to play through the original Diablo just because I think a lot of people don't remember the story.
There wasn't a lot of story. I mean, there was a story, but it was, you know, Diablo 1 was real skimpy on story and quests.
Here, there's a city, there's evil stuff going on, and hey, I bet you like money. Oh, and then the end cinematic of Diablo, though, I mean, it's terrible. You can barely see what's going on, but it was such a gut punch the first time I played the game. And then my character went and did that, and I'm like, why? Why would you do that? Oh my word. Bad idea, jeans. You are wearing them.
That was like the first cinematic, I think, in any video game that really just hit me. You know, like you say, it's a gut punch. I mean, can we spoil what happens
in a 30-something year old game?
Yeah, I mean, because you get to the end of Diablo 1, you're out there fighting the Lord of Terror himself, you're chasing him through Tristram and through the Burning Hells, you finally catch up to him, you kill him, you rip the soul stone out of his body, you stare at that thing and you think, what's the best thing I could do to keep this soul stone safe and contained? And your character apparently thinks, I could shove it in my own forehead. That's going to work great, and it totally did, because it set us directly up for the plot of Diablo 2.
Yeah, the plot of Diablo 2, where nothing bad happens on account of you having stuck a demon soulstone in your forehead. But anyway, Diablo 3, Darkening of Tristram, it's a lot of fun. You get to see the first first butcher fight, which is such a fundamental part of the Diablo series, the butcher showing up. It's fascinating to me that he's not a big lore part of the game.
He's just there.
He's not there. It feels weird. Like, you know, when the first time he appeared in Diablo 4, I was very upset because, you know, I was in the middle of something and there he is. But also at the same time, I was relieved because there he is. He's the butcher. Exactly what I was expecting him to be, a big giant pain in my butt. There you go. So that's happening. We're getting Overwatch is adding hero mastery courses. This is not something I know what they are. Flat out, I don't play a lot of Overwatch, so Joe and Liz will probably explain it to you. I don't know if Joe's gotten to play anything, because I know you haven't gotten to play Overwatch in a little bit.
I actually have not, unfortunately. I know what they are. They're essentially courses that are designed to essentially showcase your skill with that particular character, and they're all challenges designed with that character's moveset in mind. And in this particular case, it's going to be a 5-week event that is going to have, I think it's Lucio, Mei, D.Va, Ekko, and Genji courses available, that as you move through those events, you'll earn cosmetics, and you can also earn a ton of Battle Pass XP as well. So it's an interesting thing. I like when they do stuff like this, because I think it helps showcase some of the cooler and weirder things you can do with the hero powers. Like Lucio, wall riding is such a huge thing, but whenever I'm playing it, I don't see people utilizing it nearly as much as I would expect. Whereas like I've been in like the Ilio map where the well's in the middle, gotten myself bopped into it as Lucio, and then wall rode my way back up because like I'm actually decent at that particular skill. I know the course for Lucio is going to showcase that. Mai's probably going to be using the wall to get to places that you wouldn't normally be able to get as that character, or characters that don't have flight or like wall climbing abilities, like little things like that, that showcase some of the ingenuity that players in the community have been doing for a while now. So that's my two cents on it.
So Lucio is available now. Mei is available starting January 9th, D.Va on January 16th, Ekko January 23rd, and Genji on January 30th. So you're getting a new set of hero mastery courses every week throughout the month of January.
I was expecting what you guys be saying more.
That's all I have.
My brain was like, anyway, the next thing to talk about, I think for me, I want to talk about the new gold sync we're getting. Ms. Zulian, who's Miss Pandaria, I think isn't she kind of still at the black market auction house? Or is she not? I'm not sure where she is looking at the map. The Obsidian Enclave. No, she's actually in Valdrak. My bad. She's in Valdrak. I did not know that.
She's commuted to better display her wares where people are most likely to buy them.
But the reason I'm mentioning her is because one of the things she'll be selling, she's selling a whole bunch of new looks as we go into January, because I'm pretty sure we're going to get the Lunar Festival fairly soon, right? Like in February?
Yes, I'm going to have to look up. We should be getting it soon.
Yeah, but she's selling a bunch of interesting weapons that have models that you may or may not know. And other, like armor, too. For example, there's the Regal Griffin's Rider's headgear, which is, you've seen it before, but it's a stylized helmet with a big griffin plume on it. It's really cool. One of the things she's got is the Whispering Temple Blade, which is essentially a high-definition remake of Quel'Thuzar. Like, if you have Quel'Thuzar, you know what Quel'Thuzar looks like. It's like Quel'Thuzar, but with the more 3D look that some World of Warcraft items have had in more recent years. And I hate it. I hate it a lot. Like, oh my word. But I think it's still pretty cool. I just hate it because I have Quel'Thuzar, and this is not Quel'Thuzar. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, there's nothing wrong with this sword. But it is not, it's not actually Quel'Thuzar. It's just pretending to be. It's like, get out of Quel'Thuzar's pants. You don't have the right to call yourself Quel'Thuzar. You're not Quel'Thuzar. Well, no, I'm the gleaming Whispering Temple Blade. Like, But no, I think if you don't have it, it's a cool model. It's got a lot of detail, in point of fact. It's even still got the Crossfire had an interesting enchant on it. It was part of the blade. You could put another enchant on it, but it wouldn't displace this look. It's kind of like a light green glowing thing that kind of crawled up and down. This seems to have a golden version of it, which is, like I said, interesting. I there's nothing wrong with the model, but you know, again, I worked really hard for my Quelsarar all those years ago, and I don't like it when it looks like Quelsarar's getting its place taken. However, yeah, it's cool. There's a bunch of other stuff too, like the Gilded Scarab Bulwark. That's really cool, in my opinion. The gold-plated Witch Hunter's carbine, mm-hmm. which I'm positive I've seen this model. I think it's from like the raids in Battle for Azeroth.
It is, yeah.
I like it. It's a cool looking gun. But
I think it should also be mentioned that a lot of these ones that are going to be available for gold are currently available on the trading post with different coloration.
Yeah, I think they're all. These ones are all gold. Are gold or gold attempts, gold accents. The Marauder King's Body Carver, which is a two-hand pole arm, by the way, this is a model you've seen before. It's not mm-hmm. a new model, but it's sick. It is a really nice-looking pole arm. It's very hoardy. Like, this is something that I would feel really weird using as Alliance. I would still do it, but I would feel a lot. It's got a nice... It's almost a glaive, but it's off-balance, which is really cool because it's a very, this definitely feels like something an orc would make. Like an orc would say, I've got these two axes and they're kind of broken. I'm going to glue them together and make one big cutting thing out of them. It's like,
sounds all right.
Yeah. Are you guys feeling all right? Yeah, we're great. Okay. Oh boy. Yeah. Don't leave orcs alone with broken weapons. Cause they don't see broken weapons as a heartbreaking thing. They see it as an opportunity. And they're going to make something terrifying out of that. But yeah, a lot of cool stuff. I thought I would want to mention that because, you know, it's a gold sink, which we sometimes don't like, but I think we kind of have to realize that the economy of this game is very fragile and very easily broken by us, the crazy players. And so having gold sinks is good because it means we have a place for that gold to go. Instead of it just flooding into the market and making the most inexpensive things cost thousands upon thousands of gold. I know that I was kind of annoyed this expansion at like having to buy flasks for some of the price. Not flasks. What do they call them now?
Files.
Yeah, files. The files were getting pricey. But yeah, that's handled. So we can talk about the WoW trading post because Joe mentioned it earlier and Liz has a mention for it here. The post enthusiast achievement, which is the one you get for doing 12 months of trading post. So if you skip like 4 months of trading post like I did, you're going to have to wait 4 months. But you do 12 months of trading posts and you get 500 bonus trader's tinder and, an achievement. So that's both are cool. Achievements are cool. Don't you get a mount too? Isn't there a mount for this?
That's the transmog. That's the warden transmog is the primary reward for the achievement.
Okay. So there you go. You get the warden transmog.
I need to check on that because I definitely got a bunch of attendees, but I don't remember getting the achievement pop up.
Yeah, it's part of the reward for the trading post, and according to the Blizzard post on the subject. That's what I'm looking at right now.
And for those at home, yes, I do call them tendies, and yes, I think of them like chicken nuggies.
See, the problem I have is that I don't think of chicken nuggets as chicken nuggets. I think of them as the dinosaur nuggets. So when you say that, yes. Now I'm thinking of little tiny chicken dinosaurs going, we're made out of the flesh of our own children. It's a weird thing, guys. You're making chicken tenders into dinosaur shapes, and they are dinosaurs. It's weird. Anyway, so that's happening. And finally, this thing that Liz posted, I'm actually going to try to get Liz to talk about it because it's kind of cool, and I want to go look at the thing while we're talking about it, is the Diablo folks posted like a year in review kind of thing, just all the stuff that they've done, the stuff that's happened in terms of numbers. You know the kind of thing. Liz, do you want to read these, or do you want me to do it, or what?
Sure, I gotcha. So Diablo 4, the year in numbers, total monsters killed, 1 trillion. I mean, that sounds kind of low to me, actually, because if you log on to Diablo 4 for like an hour, you're going to kill 10,000 demons. I mean, that's just how it works. You're killing so many demons all the time. Deaths by the Butcher, which we were just talking about, that guy earlier. 37 million. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that seems low. That guy's he's a killer. He's designed to be a killer. Hardcore player deaths, 2.4 million. For those sad people amongst us who have died to lag and bugs and.
I'm going to be upfront. I started a hardcore character, and I got that character up to 47. And when that character died, it was my own fault. I can't blame lag because I wasn't having any lag. I can't blame the game being imbalanced because while it is, this was purely just me being stupid and riding my mount directly into a group of what looked to be 47 demons. And they were hitting me before I could even get off the mount. And I forgot the button to make you jump and hit everybody. I forgot which button it was. So I'm like, oh, God, button? And finally, when I got off my mount, I did my best. But nope, they got me. And fair dues to you, demons. You killed me fair and square.
Those deaths are usually, you're overconfident. You went in,
I was eating a sandwich. I was eating a sandwich while riding my mount. And the best part is the sandwich ended up on the floor. Because I'm like, No, that one was all me. But it did make me realize I definitely am not really the target audience for hardcore mode.
Me neither. And the two most popular classes in the game, though they do not give us any numbers on this, and I am really curious, two most popular classes, Sorcerer and Necromancer.
I can't say I'm surprised, Joe.
Not really surprised, no.
Sorcerer has been one of the most powerful classes since day one.
Has been,
and
yeah.
Necromancer is just such an iconic Diablo class.
No, hard to go wrong. Let's be upfront. Necros were tanks for most of at least before season one. If you were leveling before season one, Necros were unkillable. Like, you had to work to die. You had to be trying very hard.
Yes, it's very difficult to die as a Necromancer, and there are ways to make yourself even tankier than you are by default. Yes, I am currently playing my third Necromancer. And my only deaths have also been to my own stupidity and hubris. But you can't kill me. It's fine.
I did it already.
Over the weekend I was playing a lot of Diablo 4. And I went in and I'm like level 63. And I decided to do the capstone dungeon, the capstone dungeon to unlock world tier 4. Which is like everything in the capstone dungeon is level 70. So I went and I did that. That wasn't a problem. And then I got into, the actual, world tier 4. Everything, the low end there is level 75. And it's like, okay, this is okay. Because I'm a necromancer and I cannot be killed. That's kind of the end of my story. I'm sorry. It came to an abrupt stop because I have nothing else to do.
I'm a necromancer and I can't be killed. Oh, well. Anyway, da-da-da-da. I think that's it. Yeah.
It was rough going for a while, being level 63 in a world where everything is level 75. It was a little tricky when you ran into multiple elites, but...
Yeah, I'm sure.
I have survived. I have persevered, and I am now level 78.
I want to say congratulations, so I'm going to. Congratulations.
The interesting thing about that is we're a month away from the end of the season, a little less than a month.
Yeah.
And level 78 is the highest I have ever gotten any character in Diablo. My season one character got to level 78, and then it was like, okay, season's over. My preseason character got to level 78, and it's like, oh, season one is launching, I gotta go play season one. So this is as far as I've ever gotten. And leveling is so fast. Leveling is so much faster than it used to be. I'm definitely... Will I actually get a character to level 100 this month? It's possible. It feels possible. Maybe I won't, but it feels... It's something I could maybe do, which it has not felt that way before.
I mean, I got a hardcore character into the 40s. Leveling is definitely quicker. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think at that point, that's pretty much what we've got here for in terms of news and events. So... We're going to basically move on and do something else.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And that something else is going to be emails and questions from you guys. As is usually the case, if you have a question for the show, you can get to us in one of various ways. If you have one of the black feathers, you can open a rift and send your question directly to me through the Plains of Mordoth. But if you don't, you can email it. You can email it at podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show. We got a really rocking question for Lore Watch, and I didn't take it.
I appreciate that.
I feel bad about it. Like right now, I'm thinking I could have taken that question. It was just right there. But no, I didn't do it because it's a new year and I'm trying to be a better person. I'm going to fail, but I got like, at least it's the second day.
I appreciate your effort. I'll send you a reward. Maybe a nice cookie.
Yay. By the way, have you seen the video of the woman who comes to her house and finds a cookie on her like ledge? And it turns out that she's been feeding a squirrel and that squirrel went and stole a cookie for her. And put it on it's on her security video of the squirrel doing that.
Before we get into questions, life advice: make friends with squirrels and crows and you will never have a problem. They will solve everything for you.
Yes, and possibly it will be terrifying for other people, for you it'll be great. But again, you can send that question through our email. If you have a squirrel, I mean, you know, let's see what happens. But also, if you'd rather just ask us on Discord, we have two channels on Discord. One is for our patrons because, you know, you guys, we love you. You are like spiky bear hugs, and we absolutely adore you. And we love that you give us money so we can keep doing this, because this is a thing we want to keep doing. And you guys have made it possible. Thank you very much. So we have a channel just for you, the Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel. And we look in there first. We got most of our questions from there this week. But if you're not a patron, you still want to get a question to us. We totally understand. Not everybody can be a patron for various reasons. So you can go to the Q and Podcast Questions channel for non-patrons, and you can ask your question there. This week, we've got an assortment of questions. So I'm having a really bad eye week this week, so I'm going to ask you guys to rotate again on reading them. Liz, do you mind taking the first one?
Sure. The first question is from KTS Stories. Question for the Blizzard Watch podcast. I suspect y'all might take this even further than I'm about to suggest, but what do you think of loosening heritage armor restrictions so groups with shared heritage armor, for example, Tauren and High Mountain, Dwarves and Dark Iron, or Blood Elves and Void Elves, could transmog the armor of their close kin? I think keep the original unlocks, but maybe add quests for each group to unlock the ability to share with the others, especially with groups like the Dwarven Clans or Tauren Tribes, where a lot of story has been devoted to reunions of those groups. I am, of course, always for more transmog. I think the only problem here is that it's just like KTS points out that, you know, some of these groups have had kind of reunion stories. Some of them have not, like Blood Elves and Void Elves, not friends.
Yet.
Not friends. Well, yeah, that's true.
We have epilogues coming.
That's amazing. I'm big on let's all get along. Let's hug it out. Let's be friends. Let's have more transmog. That's me. What about y'all?
Honestly, my gut feeling on this is I like the idea of unlocking your heritage armors and things like that. But I personally feel that once you have them unlocked on your account, everybody on your account that can wear that type of armor should be able to transmog into it. You've earned it. I don't think there's a reason not to, especially in a world like Warcraft, where the reality is, when you are in the middle of, like, I don't know, a foreign land, in this case, Dragonflight, your armor gets damaged, you can't find a blacksmith to repair what you have, you pick up what's around you, and adapt it to yourself. And that's sort of a very fantasy-esque thing. So why the heck not? Why the heck can't my Dark Iron Heritage armor be worn by, you know, that Night Elf warrior over there because they found this really cool plate spalder just kind of like laying around and it's in pretty good shape and I can incorporate it into my armor. Like it would make sense to me to just kind of, once you earn it, just let it be account wide for you in particular. Do you have an opinion, Matt?
I'm a mean one, Mr. Grinch. I think you guys are generous, but I don't support your idea. No, I just don't. I don't want that. I don't want to see Highborn wearing Nightborn wearing Night Elf Heritage armor or Night Elves wearing Nightborn Heritage armor if they don't have it yet, do they? No, they do because they have their own. Yeah, they do. I just don't. And I don't have a reason aside from I feel like these things are specific to and special rewards for the groups that won them. That, you know, you have to go do a bunch of quests to even get it. Or you have to get your allied race character up to max level. And it just feels to me like it's not, I don't feel a compelling reason for my Night Elf to wear dwarf armor. Because sure, I'd find a shoulder piece on the beach. But I mean, think about it. Dwarves are like 4.5 feet tall and I'm like 7 feet tall. your shoulder armor is my wrist guard. So I don't know. I think that you both have a much more generous and a probably a better mindset for the health of the game. And I'm not happy that I have this instinctive revulsion at this idea. And I don't feel it for everybody. Like I could see gnomes and mecha gnomes trading off just fine. Because from the minute they met, gnomes and mechagons weren't having any problems.
Well, also technically, according to the storyline, they're sort of like one unified people.
Now. Yeah, they're one kingdom. So I could see like gnomes letting, you know, mechagons wearing gnome armor to like kind of cover up the whole, you know, half of me is robot now. For some who weren't comfortable with it. And for that matter, I could see some regular old gnomes wearing mechagon armor in solidarity for them. You know, yeah. You went through a bad thing, man. I'm totally down with you and your strange robo limbs. Dwarves and Dark Iron, I think I don't actually have a problem with that one, but I do think that any rapprochement between Dwarves and Dark Iron needs to come with a lot of sarcastic japery. Like, they should never be the kind of friends who just buddy-buddy. They're the kind of friends who poke each other. If you've got a Dark Iron and a regular, like, a Wildhammer or a Bronzebeard dwarf hanging out, the Bronzebeard should be constantly in little jabs and the Dark Iron just sits there and waits a bit, and then when they're sipping their drink says something really cutting, like a come on man, I'm just telling a little joke to you, yes, very little sort of thing. And the Wild Hammer will constantly be, if you don't both stop it, I'm going to hit both of you, just knock it off, drink your beer, and then let's go kill some. So I don't know that I want to see them wearing the same gear, but I can't come up with the physically there's no reason they couldn't. And for that matter, Moira, if could she wear Dark Iron Heritage gear? She's their empress.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to tell the empress that she can't? The mother of, you know, the upcoming, you know, emperor? So, yes, the Blood Elves, Void Elves, absolutely, I could see why you wouldn't want that.
Story-wise, I understand the separation. It's just mechanically, if it's something that you feel strongly about, you just don't have to participate in that portion.
No, right? I know. And that's why I said I don't necessarily like this impulse that I feel. No, but I do feel like for a lot of them that it is an impulse that I feel. Like, I especially feel it for, like, Night Elves. Like, I would be mad if the Nightborn wore our armor. Like, that's armor we developed after we gave up the stuff you kept and are currently, you know, rolling around in your magic city while we just finally got some place to live after you helped blow up our old place. No, you don't get to wear that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. If I had like a Nightborn character and a Night Elf character, I would find it the height of aggression as a Nightborn to wear that armor. That's me telling you that that's how little I think of you. And so that would bug me. But again, that's just like one. That's like just. There's lots of reasons why people should just get to do whatever they want. You know what I mean? Like,
I have some bad news for you about Bellameth.
Yeah, well, I know it's there, and I know there are other people there, Horde and Alliance. No, I'm well aware of the story of Bellameth. I'm just for some people, it would not be so easily done,
which makes sense.
Yeah. But again, I feel like you guys have a more generous and a probably a better for the game idea, whereas mine is based purely in like just old man yells at Cloud, take off my armor. So yeah, that's where I am on that one.
I mean, the thing is, I think it's a neat idea. I don't think Blizzard is likely to do it.
Agreed.
I don't think this is going to be unlocked.
I don't think they're likely to do it anytime soon. Hmm. But I've said before they weren't going to do stuff, and now they have done it. So, you know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
You never know. With this game the way it is, they're not going to do it in 2024, and they're probably not going to do it in 2025, but eventually they might very well do it.
Yeah. But I think that means we're going to move on to our next question here, which is from Zool, Mr. Blindside. We are in the third season for PvP this X-Pack and have a gear set each time that has upgraded twice. Crimson, Obsidian, and now Verdant. When is/will there be a fourth season, and will it get an upgraded gear set as well?
I'm pretty sure they said there was going to be a fourth season.
Yeah.
They're definitely doing a fourth season.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Liz.
I mean, I assume there will be a new series of upgrades. I mean, we aren't going to get new tier sets or anything like that because we aren't getting a new raid. We've got the final raid tier, but we're getting another season with faded raids or something along those lines. I assume they're going to follow.
Season 4, the Dragonflight raids revisited, new PvP season, new Mythic Plus season, new open world rewards. So almost certainly we're going to get a new PvP set as well.
I guess the question is, what do you think the name's going to be of it? Because you have your Crimson, obviously, for the Red Dragonflight. You have Obsidian for the Black Dragonflight. Verdant for the Green Dragonflight. Which do you think will be the flight that represents the fourth PvP season? I think it's going to be something to do with the Bronze Dragonflight.
So it's the blues getting left out.
I think it'll be the blues. Well, the blues are sort of like their story happened already very, very early.
Yeah.
And I think the Infinite Dragonflight story sort of just wrapped up this past season.
Yeah, that's true.
So like it's still kind of fresh, and I think they're most likely to maybe get it. So that's my opinion. It could be blue. It could be Azure as the final upgrade, but
it's going to be the Proto Drakes, the Incarnates that are following Duranoth, and they're going to all their armor is going to be based around tiny little arms.
You know what? I'd be okay with that. Put tiny little arms on the breastplate. I'm in. I'm there. Yeah.
Those tiny little arms can actually hold an additional weapon. you've got a little weapon being held right in front of your chest. Like, what is that for? I don't know. It'd make it a little harder for you to get me in the face.
Yeah. But I don't think there's anything else to add to that one, unless there's anything you guys want to add on.
I think there is definitely going to be a new set. I definitely think they're going to do that because that's what they do for seasons. And season 4 for Dragonflight is definitely the wrap up consolidation season. But it is still a season, and however long it's going to be, I think it'll be very similar to what they did in Shadowlands, where it was shorter than you might expect.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be there. We're going to be doing they're going to bring in the new raids and stuff. So they're going to need to also provide progression for PvP. And one of the ways that PvP gets progression is gear with, new stuff on it. So
I'm actually really looking forward to that, though. Like, I'm looking forward to not just the game being in I don't want to say cooldown phase, but that fourth season. I really liked Faded Raids last expansion. I thought that was a lot of fun, and it was an excuse for us to keep doing things as a guild. And I'm kind of looking forward to that as again here. Like, I think it's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. I'm also very curious how that's all going to shake out and what FXs are going to be and things like that. Sorry, you mentioned Faded Raids, and I'm like, it's in my head now. I'm like, all I'm thinking about is
Squirrel.
Yeah, but it's also an excuse for some of us to play alts as well and do some other things that maybe we didn't get to do during the main story or whatever the case is. So I always look forward to that. And maybe PvP will be the thing that I try this in season 4, because I haven't PvP'd in a while.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Next question is from Azurloon. Anyone think that the tunnels between Loch Modan and the wetlands are big enough to dragon race through? Not sure the layout is feasible, but what a run it would be if we could. What racecourse locations would you like to see in old zones? I want to race the tram tunnel connecting Stormwind and Ironforge as well. Do not crash into the oncoming tram. Good luck and try not to die. I'm afraid I do not think about this very much because I am so bad at dragon riding. You talked about the tunnels between Loch Modan and the wetlands, and I can see how that would be super cool, but I would also just constantly run in the walls until I ran out of vigor, and then I would be like walking along until the dragon riding race reset on me because I'm not flying. And that gets frustrating when you're real bad at dragon riding, but you're trying your best. What about you, Matt?
Black Rock Mountain.
Oh,
you start
cool.
off, you fly in through the top where there's the whole, you know, wrecked Nefarian throne and the big, you know, and then you go down the tunnel into Black Rock Descent, you know, where Nefarian had his second raid back in Cataclysm. And you basically fly straight down where the Elevator of Death is and do the circuit. And then you actually have to fly back up and out the way you flew out when you left the raid on back of a dragon all those years ago, which would then take you to the upper Blackrock Spire, which you would then fly through, going through all those rooms and so forth, until you got to the lower Blackrock Spire. And then you would fly through that whole area till you finally hit Blackrock Descent, which was, of course, put underneath Blackrock Spire dungeons, even though it was much later. You'd fly through that, which would then take you out into Blackrock Depths, the Dark Iron City, and you'd need to get through that and to the original throne chamber of Thorason to get a special switch you'd have to hit with your mount on your way by to open up the passage to Molten Core, which you would then fly all the way through. So it'd be this enormous series of tunnels to fly through. It would be awful. I would smash into walls constantly, but it would also be amazing because it would be like, oh, wow, this is a crazy ride. And there'd be lots of interesting things like putting in new kinds of things to fly your mount through. Like imagine if there was a thing up there that you could fly your mount through. And as long as you got it, you could then dive into the lava and come out somewhere else because you're completely protected from the lava by the magical rune you just passed through. And if you didn't hit that, then it's going to take you longer because you can't use the lava shortcut. So there's lots of possibilities. I'm going to say Black Rock Mountain.
I would be down for anything in that context of like tunnel racing. I think it would be cool. I think it would be incredibly difficult to implement well, though, I think would be the problem. Mm-hmm. Liz brings up a really good point. Like think of flying into Zarelek Caverns and how many people had a problem with it. So they put in a teleport. Right. Like there's ways to get into Zarelek Caverns that don't involve you having to actually fly through. I remember people in our guild complaining about like getting lost or turned around in just that tunnel by itself. And some people had no problem with it whatsoever. But I kind of like the idea that Matt put forward where you sort of do a best highlight run of like a raid or something like that. Think about doing that through like Alduar, right? Like a course set in Alduar. Oh. Because that's a huge expansive area. You could put up a bunch of places. And now we're talking pie in the sky because we're talking about developing specifically for races right here. There's so many areas in Alduar that we just didn't get to see. There was no, like, we can see them from afar, but like imagine zooming through the mountains and through like the Titan structures and things like that. And
maybe imagine zooming doing Nimrod's tram run.
Yeah.
You're literally running over that tram that goes from the heart of Alduar out to Memoron's workshop.
Or diving into the pieces of the engine that sit below it, or some of the tunnel work of like the Maker's engine and things like that.
Instead of doing it as Alduar, you could literally do it as Storm Peaks, because just using those tunnels, because there's enormous tunnels all through Storm Peaks. And those tunnels are big enough that you could really easily fly through them. In fact, I was going to suggest something. When she was talking about doing the wetlands ones, getting to the wetlands from Loch Wadan, and you talked about them being a little narrow, I was like, what if we find more tunnels that like Titan construction tunnels between all the places that, you know, we know are Titan related, like Nomragon, Grim Batal, I can't remember Ironforge's name suddenly. There we are, Ironforge. Thank you, Brain. but you could actually like go through all those places. You could really broaden it out. You could make it like a series of races too, where it doesn't have to just be do all this stuff in one go. It could be like this one is the, you know, the Alduar run.
Or this is the Storm Peaks run. Yeah, the Kazmodan Cup or something like that. Like,
yeah. I dig it.
I
guess what we're saying is we could come up with a lot of ideas.
I'm still hoping that one day we're going to get dragon riding races that are done basically like Mario Kart, where like I can throw blue shells at people, because I really want to do that while I'm just flying around and have the
done. Do you remember in Shadowlands, there's the thing where you're riding on a thing and then you can throw a spear and leap over there?
Yes.
Imagine being able to do that to somebody while dragon riding.
This comes from a place like in mostly I just kind of want to get your guys' thoughts on it now that we're coming towards the end of the expansion and we're on this topic. I've actually grown to really appreciate dragon riding as an alternative. Like, I think it has potential to be a lot of fun. I think it's not without its problems, and it is definitely something where I'm glad they put accessibility modes in for like quests that require it and stuff like that. But as a feature, I wouldn't mind seeing it expanded in the future, or maybe like added to, because I think it's got some potential to like just be really neat.
I mean, if you're talking about expanded in terms of being able to do it with more mounts, we already know they're doing that. The new feature in War Within is basically dragon riding for everything.
I mean, like expanding like content specifically for like races and things like that.
I think it would be interesting if they had content. Like, one of the things that I really want to see is kind of like a kind of weird triathlon, or like the biathlon, which is skiing and shooting things. Which has always been to me the weirdest things. But imagine a dragon riding race where you dragon ride to an area. You then have to say, kill 10 things and get their hooves. Then you have to fly to another area. Now you have to liberate the area from the rampaging fire ogre. Then you have to go to, like, imagine if it was like an adventure's. And it's like you have to get there as fast as possible. Then you have to like kill the thing as fast as possible and get to the next place. And that's, you get an overall time, but you also get points for like, how well do you kill them? Like, did you do something cool when you killed them? Or did you just, you know, fireball, 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 I'm gone. Like, so you can break like a real sport out of it. Like, again, kind of like the biathlon, except skiing and shooting becomes flying and hacking at things with a greatsword or fireball, fireball, fireball. I definitely think there's room for weird stuff like that, like wacky races type stuff. Do you remember wacky races?
I do.
Yeah, like wacky races type stuff. Like, you mentioned Mario Kart, but wacky races was way wackier. Or even Twisted Metal type stuff.
That might be a little too dark.
Don't do it like Twisted Metal. We have like haunted, you know, haunted clown ice cream trucks. I just mean, like, imagine if you had like a Demolition Derby dragon riding thing, where while you mentioned the blue shells, imagine if seriously like it becomes gladiator combat while you're up there, and your dragons are fighting and you're fighting. I don't know, there's a lot of potential. I don't know, Liz, what do you think?
I'm into it so long as I don't have to do it myself, because I am one of those people who is so bad at dragon riding. I love these ideas, you know, like a Mario Kart style thing. Did either of you play? I played a lot of SSX, which was a snowboarding tricks game.
Yep.
What if you had something like that for dragon riding?
Tony it's Hawk's all about, dragon riding. Let's go.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Where it's all that'd like, be great.
Kick, flip your dragon. Let's go.
Well, imagine too. Imagine if you had a dragon riding thing. Since your dragon is a sapient being, you could have tricks that were like he flies you up, you jump off him, and he has to catch you.
Yeah, you do like the How to Train Your Dragon type stuff, right? Like that's what you do. I'd be into that. So, yeah. I would be so into that.
That's a cool idea. I would also probably not want to do that one because, you know, blind guy, I have a real hard time seeing things. But yeah, no, it would be great.
I just wanted to reward me like 10 D's at the end of the event instead of like points. Like I'm fine with that.
Yeah, as long as it's not like, you know, like you know, you get the best weapon in the game by doing this. I don't want that. But I do want people to have cool optional activities to pursue. I think, like I've said it 100 times, my favorite non-essential activity that they ever put into the game was pet battling.
Yeah.
Which I don't do at all. I've never done it. I don't want to do it. And I don't have to do it. It's there if you want it. And if you don't want it, you can ignore it. And I think that is perfect.
Optional.
So I think that, yeah.
The more things that you add to the game, but making them optional is always better. Like, that's why I like the Traders Post and stuff like that, because it like gives you things that you can go and do. It gives you incentive to go and do stuff in the game world, but you don't have to. You can ignore it if you want. Pet battling is a great example of that. And then as long as they make it optional, whatever they add. But yes, I would be super happy if they would give us something like that, or give us the Mario Kart double dash, and Liz, you can just ride on my dragon with me while I fly around and you can just murder people.
I'm into it.
See?
Yes.
Problem solved.
Yeah. That's a win-win.
But do you think we have time for one more?
Oh, we have time for the last question here, I think.
All right. Well, you're up then.
All right. Also from Azure Lune, toys. So many toys in WoW. What are some unique standouts or personal favorites in your collection? Any you use every time you play? Any you only use on a specific character and no one else? Any you really want but just haven't gotten around to getting yet? Thanks as always. Toys! For me, it's the Hearthstones. I love the new Hearthstones that they've been adding into the game, and I classify those as toys because they're collectibles that just have a cosmetic effect. Yes, they teleport you whether on the same cooldown, blah, blah, blah. But I've really been getting into them since they started adding them into the game. I think they're a really, really cool thing, and I go out of my way to use specific ones on specific characters, whatever matches my mental story for the character or whatever the aesthetic is. I also really like the Champion Light, where you like just hold your weapon up and a big beam comes out of nowhere and just like illuminates you as if it was like the middle of a comic book or like an anime. Those I use all of the time. If you go back to some of my old posts on the site where I would take screenshots, I use that a lot because one, it lit up the scenes, and two, I always thought it was hilarious to just be sitting in the middle of like, oh, here's this giant battle going on behind me. I'll just do this. And it's just me standing there posing for the camera. Like, I love stuff like that. But those are my favorite types of toys. What about you, Liz?
Well, I have to say the most practical, most important toy in my toy box is the Transmorpher Beacon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, it summons a transmog vendor, essentially, where you can... It's super crucial for when you're in the middle of a raid and you've just gotten a new piece of armor and it's perfect, but it clashes with your transmog. Mm-hmm. So... you have to fix that immediately. This lets you do that. But probably my favorite toy, the one that is after many, 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 many years, still on my hot bars so I can click it when I need it, is the Rainbow Generator.
Which, Yeah.
It spawns a beautiful rainbow between you and your current target.
I love doing that in raid when like 8,000 of us spontaneously do that.
It's a big Care Bear stare thing going on. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's the choice toy, and it's at its best when you have a team of people who follow you when you start with the rainbow.
Yeah, Matt,
it's your turn, Matt.
There is a certain category of toys that I call the Orb of Deception and its family.
Yes,
anything that lets you do something like look like another member of a different faction, whether it's the Orb of the Cinderai the Orb of the Deception, the one that turns you into a fire druid whose name I can't remember, but which I have, something Layara's Locket, maybe?
Yes. Yeah, Layara's Locket.
There's the one that can turn you into an ice dwarf. I've got that one. The one that turns you into an ogre, because there's like one that's like, oh, so-and-so's mask, and you turn into a big one that just puts a big, fake, stupid-looking ogre head on you, which is also great.
There's the one that lets you turn into your pet.
Yeah. I don't have that one because I don't have a pet. But I do have, like, I've got a bunch for transforming my character into various things. I've got the one where I apparently stick a demon-infested crystal in my forehead, thus proving that, you know, anything we reference will eventually come back. But I've got a bunch of them, and I like using all of them. I even like the Orb of the Cinderai, because the Orb of the Cinderai allows me to basically be wearing a bunch of Alliance gear as a Blood Elf. And confused, like, I guess we just got talking about me, the whole heritage armor thing. I'm like, no, I don't like it. But then once I got the Orb of Cinderai, I started using it constantly to take screenshots of like what looks like a Blood Elf wearing Alliance armor. So I am a massive hypocrite. But yeah, I do like all these different kinds of deception toys. They are the toys I enjoy.
Also, honorable like mention to the on that same thing. Honorable mention to the jewelcrafting prism that lets you swap appearances with people.
Yeah, and there's also one that'll let you there's also ones that are like subsets, like that let you like just do weird stuff to yourself, like pop yourself into a big piece of amber and just go for a while if that's what you want to do. Runner up after all the various deception toys is my train smasher.
Yes. I love when they added that to the damn game. It was so good.
Yeah, because for a long time, there was that whole thing where the train would come out and people would, you know, you'd be forced to be doing the dance thing, and I didn't enjoy it. So when I had the ability to drop that guy and just he goes over and goes, no, stop it, bad. And, you know, I enjoy him. So he's my backup. But yeah, for me, it's the various Orb of Deception like items that allow you to do things like turn your Tauren into a gnome. And I'll tell you right now, when you are PvPing as a gnome, man, you're a Tauren, but you turned yourself into a gnome to PvP, everyone gets confused. No one knows what's going on. They're like, why is this gnome killing me? Shouldn't he be on my side? Oh my, no. So yeah, there's just a lot of that kind of stuff is my jam, so to speak. So yeah, I would definitely say that.
Yeah.
And I guess that wraps us up.
Well, friends, Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means that this podcast signing community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast with a queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you to Joe and Liz both for being here and helping make the show so amazing. Thank you to all you guys for listening to the show and making it happen. Because, you know, we really appreciate that. I'd like to remind you all that you can send us your questions. You can use our email address, podcast@blizzardwatch.com, with subject being podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for the show. Or you can hit up one of our Discord channels, the Q&A podcast questions channel for everybody, if you're not a patron, and the Patron Q&A podcast questions channel for patrons, so we know to look there first. Thank you guys so much for being here with us. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast, and we'll see you next week.